Want to conclude from yesterday evening? Have you do a little meditation exercise, and then move into this morning's topic. Okay? Okay. So some persons joined us this morning, and some persons are going to join us later today, and slowly people will drift in that aren't here yet. Yesterday, for those that were not here, and for those that were here, just a little refresh. We spoke about connected chanting as opposed to what we normally do, where the mouth is going and our attention is somewhere else. So where our attention goes to Krishna, attentive chanting, connected chanting, and attentive or connected to our relationship with Krishna. We spoke about association with a sadhu through vani, and how one can maintain association through vani sangha. And of the teachings, there are some for all of us, each of us, some very prominent teachings that really resonate and they stay with us and they become part of our life, and that sadhu who imparts those instructions becomes part of our life. We associate that way. And of the instructions of sadhu, there are categories of instructions, but just to keep it short and simple, we have a relationship with Krishna. It's on the spiritual platform. It's not on the platform of this temporary body. It's on the spiritual platform. So, letting go of the material conception and taking shelter of the spiritual conception of life, slowly, slowly, through teachings and guidance how to apply teachings practically in our lives, we move closer and closer, if we're progressing, to our restoring our relationship with Krishna. That's our spiritual life. So since that teaching is so essential, when we're doing our fundamental practice of chanting, we should be connecting. Maybe I'll just ask for a quick show of hands, those that were here yesterday. How many of you during this morning's japa would answer differently than we had our little sharing yesterday? How much aware were you of Krishna's presence when chanting japa this morning compared to yesterday? I was one. So rather than a full review, where we ended up yesterday was speaking about creating a sacred space in the prison house. Sounds contradictory, right? Prison house isn't sacred. And sacred is something completely distinct from the prison house. But that's our challenge. I made reference to how nomads survive in the desert. And Prabhupada speaks about that. The living entities are born in different conditions of life. So what kind of karma is it that one is born or lives in a desert? I mean, a desert is unfit for habitation. I mean, it's tough even for cactus, what to speak of people. But if people live there or Antarctica, you know, where it's just ice everywhere. It's tough. Not good karma. So how do you survive if you have that circumstance? Living in a desert. Living in the material world. Tough. And practice spiritual life, like reviving your relationship with Krishna in the middle of a desert. Tough. So, creating for oneself a sacred space. I want to revise or edit or a little bit correct how I ended things up yesterday. This is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching, this creating of a sacred space has three components, you could say three tent poles to create, you know, this nice little tent in the desert so you can survive and have a sacred space. Humility. Humility has two parts. It's understanding what we aren't and understanding what we are. It's dismissing the material conception or bodily conception and all things related to it. You know, our teaching is kipa vipra, kipa nyasi, shudra, kene noi. So, you know, I'm not a computer technologist. I'm not a teenager growing up in America. I'm not a wife or a husband or, you know, specialize, tailor it for our circumstances. It's not who I am. I perform duties and responsibilities because I have this body and this mind, but the body and the mind is, it's part of my straitjacket in the prison cell. It's not who I am. It's confining and constraining. It's fettering the actual condition of the soul. The real happiness of the soul is not through those identities. Those are false identities. So what I really am is this infinitesimally small. Prabhupada would say infinitesimal. Infinitesimally small. Take the tip of a hair, divide it into 100. Take one of those parts, divide it into 100. We don't have instruments that can do that. It's smaller than the atom. That's how small. And that's the size of the soul, and that's who we are. We're not only atomic, we're subatomic. We're very, very small. And somehow, part of this humility is that we've received some very, 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 very special fortune, and that is the opportunity to come in contact with teachings that give us the identity of who we really are and can smash the misconception of who we aren't that causes all of our suffering. And by taking that knowledge and the process accompanied with that knowledge, the fullness of our spiritual identity can be restored, our spiritual form, our spiritual life. Our being situated in the kingdom of God can be fully established. Humility and gratitude of the good fortune that we've received. So, juxtapose that humility with the munificence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead who we're being introduced to, or in the language that we were speaking of yesterday, we're being invited to come and again associate in a loving mood with Krishna. And the third is this place, not Gitanagari, but the material world, the place where we are. It's a place to there's twofold reasons, twofold purposes of material creation. To provide us with an opportunity to try to enjoy illusion, which isn't the primary purpose. The primary purpose is to correct that tendency. Just reading this in the third canto Bhagavatam, when Maitreya is speaking to Vidura about the Supreme Lord and his relationship with the material creation, and it describes the Supreme Lord was feeling incomplete, which is very hard to comprehend. He who was the only thing that is complete was feeling incomplete. Because it was just him, Rama Devi, his consort, and the spiritual world, and the spiritual potency, the internal potency. But the living entities that were rebellious were without something to do. And the reflection of his internal potency, the external potency, had nothing to do. And he wanted those living entities, the conditioned living entities, to have an opportunity to again associate with him in a loving mood. So he created the material world. He desired that material world be created, and so it happened. Boom, 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 boom. It just unfolded from his desire. Because the energies of the Lord fulfill his desire. That's their program. They serve. And he desires, and they serve according to his desire. So, there's this place, Devi Dham, where it's a prison house for those who have abandoned Krishna. A word in one of the poems that we're going to, or prayers, we're going to recite is this word, truant. Does anybody know what that word means, truant? A truant officer? Huh? Can't hear.
Rebellious.
Yeah. The very specific, well, there's, when I was a kid growing up, there was this thing called playing hooky. You know what that means? You're supposed to go to school, you don't go to school, you do something else. You come back home and your mom asks, how was school? Oh, it was fine. We had a great time at school today. She said, well, I got a call from school that said you didn't go to school. And, you know, they're on my case. So I'm on your case, you know. That never happened to me, but that there's a phrase that we use, playing hooky. So, or it's truant. You're absent. You have a responsibility to perform, and you're absent. You don't go to school. Or, you know, April 15th? That's the date? Filing your taxes? You don't file your taxes. What happens? It's not that the government shrugs its shoulders and says, oh, okay. How much longer do you need? That's not what happens. I'll file my taxes. Again, you pay a penalty too. for not filing your taxes on time. It's truant. Those miscellaneous forms of truancy are from the primordial truancy. We were absent from our relationship with Krishna. And the material world is such a place that it teaches us to not be truant. The sufferings that we experience, without exception, the sufferings that we experience are the lessons of the external energy to teach us to not be inattentive to our relationship with Krishna. Be attentive to your relationship with Krishna. My dear sir or madam, be attentive to your relationship with Krishna. And when you're attentive to your relationship with Krishna, the truant officer doesn't knock on your door. When you pay your taxes, assuming you file them properly, Internal Revenue Service is not going to send you a notice saying, you didn't file your taxes. You got a penalty. And if you don't do it, you're going to jail. So we're already in jail because we're truant. And there's a suffering condition that's in prison. So part of creating a sacred space is recognizing that and not whining and complaining about the circumstances that cause the sense of misfortune. We bought ourselves this misfortune by our truancy. It's one of the connects back to the first of the three tent poles, the humility. So it's acknowledging, accepting the circumstance of our life without whining and complaining about it, and recognizing there are prompts from Krishna that tell us we should no longer continue to be inattentive. So there's this humility says, I want to be in a different space. I want to be in a sacred space. I need to turn to Krishna. And I accept this circumstance that you placed me in. Just like this one verse that comes in the 10th canto, chapter 14, by Lord Brahma, that I accept the sufferings that are due to me. Lord, this is Lord Brahma, what to speak of ourselves. Because he did this boo-boo. He did this bad thing. He went and stole Krishna's cowherd boys and calves. Put them in a cave. He's a kidnapper. Wanting to see what ransom Krishna would pay to get them back. Well, Krishna didn't pay anything. He just manifested duplicates. Only there are forms of Narayan looking just like each of the cowherd boys and calves. So when Brahma came to realize his grievous mistake, one of his prayers was, I know that I'm to receive a reaction. I accept that I'm due to receive a reaction. I accept this reprimand, the price that I have to pay for my misdeeds. I accept it. But my prayer to you is not to minimize the reaction. My prayer to you is, let my mind not budge one inch from your two lotus feet. And may I serve you in that mood. For by so doing, I know that I'll return to the spiritual world free from this truancy program. I don't have to ask for liberation. I don't have to ask for minimization of my material sufferings. I'm asking you, please engage me. Please assist that my mind doesn't budge an inch from your two lotus feet while serving you. So, There's a very nice prayer that I'm going to recite. It comes from Sanat Kumar Samhita. Sanat Kumar is one of the four Kumaras. And the Kumaras are the heads of one of the four Sampradayas, Kumara Sampradaya. And in this Sanat Kumar Samhita, he describes a prayer that he received from Sadashiva of the spiritual world, is Sadashiva, who received this prayer directly from Krishna. And the description goes like this. Sadashiva, the Supreme Lord, in his Vishnu Tattva feature, had a vision of Lord Narayana appearing before him on the back of Garuda with his forearms. And he offered prayers to Lord Narayana and made a request. The request was, may I see that original form of yours? So the Kumara Sampradaya has this teaching also that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. When we go to Vrindavan for Kartik, there's this huge following of Vaishnavas from the Kumara Sampradaya that have their camp just outside of Varsana. I don't know what the numbers are, huge numbers. We were once in Ter Kadamba. Some of you have been to Ter Kadamba. It's like, you know, a little quiet place. These, I don't know how many hundreds, maybe up to 1,000 people came right through Ter Kadamba while we were there. We just stayed in kirtan because it took a long time for them to come through. So they have this understanding that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and one of the authorities for that is in the Sanat Kumar Samhita. So Narayan smiled and said, go to Vrindavan. There in Vrindavan, you engage in singing my glories, and I will appear before you and show my original form. So Sanat Kumar did that. Sadashiva did that. And Sadashiva had a vision of Radha and Krishna and the gopis. And Krishna was joking, and the gopis were laughing. And as the gopis were laughing, Krishna began laughing. And Sadashiva began laughing at how Radha and Krishna were laughing, enjoying their wonderful pastimes, by their mercy being drawn into that very sweet mood. And then Krishna spoke to Sadashiva and disclosed confidential teachings about himself, including the following prayer. So this is Krishna's prayer about himself, to himself, which was then given to Sanat Kumar. O Sri Sri Radha Krishna, please rescue me from the ocean of birth and death. Humility. Recognizing the supremacy of Krishna. Please break into pieces the fears of your surrendered devotee. Fears are there because we're attached to something that's temporary, intuitively know that something that's temporary is going to be dismissed, taken away, evaporated, gone, and we fear it. Please take away these fears of your surrendered devotee, O Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Today I place myself and everything I possess, both in this life and the next, at your feet. I am the home of all offenses. I am truant. I've abandoned my relation. I've forsaken my relationship with Krishna. I've been irresponsible in that which is most dear to me. I've abandoned all spiritual duties. Now I have no shelter any longer. O Sri Sri Radha Krishna, O my lords, you please become my shelter. O Master of Radha, I am yours. O Beloved of Lord Krishna, I am yours. I offer to both of you my thoughts, my words, and my deeds. You two are the only goal of my life, O Sri Sri Radha Krishna. You are like two great oceans of mercy. Please be merciful unto me. I take shelter of you. I surrender unto you. Please engage me, a sinner and an offender, in your service. Rupa Goswami similarly offers this prayer. Asha Bhanda, hope against hope. I have no qualification. I have disqualification. But despite my disqualification, I'm pleading for your mercy. Although I have no right, I've been rebellious and sinful to no limit, limitless disqualification, but I'm shameless. I'm coming before you and begging for your mercy. Oh, abject humility, dainya, precedes this submission or atmanivedana, dedication of oneself in the spiritual conception of simply being in your service and taking shelter. Humility, so these 3 points. Humility, I have no shelter but you, and I wish to no longer have this so-called intimate relationship with the material world anymore. Nivritti, at least progressively moving. So that doesn't mean like become a hermit and live in a jungle or forest, but akinchana, not seeing that as my shelter, letting go of false shelters and taking the real shelter. Letting go of illusion and taking shelter of reality. Letting go of the complacency of our comfort zone and taking shelter of Krishna in the form of His holy name. So, one other thing. This is still concluding the connected chanting topic. Something that's recommended directly in Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatan Goswami on the authority of scripture. It connects with the original exercise that I began this topic with yesterday. And that is, when chanting any mantra, or so you can say chanting a prayer or chanting our Hare Krishna mantra, meditate on the meaning. There's the person that we're calling, so we should minimally be attentive to the person, Krishna, when calling Krishna's name. But then, it's not just calling Krishna's name, it's some kind of an appeal. Hare Krishna. So, Krishna, please engage me in your service. Or, from our previous retreat, Krishna, please accept me. It's very similar to this prayer. Please accept me as a surrendered soul at your lotus feet, which means, please engage me in your service. Please accept me. So that it's not just something mechanical that we do, but it's meaningful, and we're investing consciousness in the meaning. And that's so the sound vibration takes on another dimension besides a duty or something that will neutralize my complicated life and, you know, make me feel a little more relaxed. Deactivate my sympathetic nervous system and activate my parasympathetic nervous system. Be more relaxed so I can be more productive in the workplace. So this is the teaching part was the beginning. This is an exercise or a practice, something we can practically do to connect ourselves with the teaching, to connect ourselves with Krishna, our relationship with Krishna. So you ready with the microphone?
So we're going to do another meditation, very similar actually to yesterday's meditation, but based on what Maharaj spoke in the last class, last evening and this morning, that we're living in this desert of the material world. And in a desert, what do you see? A lot of storms, a lot of storms, a lot of dust storms. So we need some sacred space, a tent that Maharaj was speaking about, that the nomads have, and that's how they stay in the deserts. So this exercise will help us in that way. There's no dearth of difficulties or storms in our life, but if we can connect to this sacred space, we can at once connect to Krishna and see ourselves as separate. So I'd like to request all of you once again to please sit straight or in a position that's comfortable for you for a few minutes. Please close your eyes and focus on your breath. Just imagine for a few minutes that you're having a very difficult day. And perhaps you don't have to imagine for some of us. But if somebody is having a wonderful day, just imagine having a difficult day. Perhaps you woke up with a bad dream. You woke up with poor health, or had to go to work and the boss yells at you and had a bad day at work and come back home expecting some support from your spouse. And spouse had a bad day too. And the children are cranky and so on. Anyway, just connect. And it feels sometimes when we're in these spaces, it's so difficult or impossible. But now, just consider the statement, I have nothing to do with all these sufferings because I have an existence beyond my gross and subtle body. I'm an eternal spirit soul. I'm an atomic soul. Atomic meaning I'm very small, very, very small. But that I'm not just some obscure, insignificant speck lost somewhere. I'm very small, I'm very tiny, but I'm worthy because I'm a part and parcel of Krishna. And I'm meant to give enjoyment to Krishna. That's my true position. Krishna is the infinite conscious entity. He is my Lord and my Master. He is my supremely merciful, all-loving and all-knowing Father. I'm connected to Him, though I'm very small. He's the most powerful conscious entity and the only protector and maintainer of everything. This material world that I currently reside in is a place of correction to reform my truant tendencies. I'm meant to serve Krishna, but forgetting that I've served my senses and mind for millions of births. I take responsibility for breaking my relationship with you, my Lord. I'm yours, Krishna, but I don't always see it. I want to awaken my loving relationship with you by chanting the holy names in which you have invested all your potencies. Please accept me. Repeat, please accept me. Please engage me in your service and purify me. Now you can chant to him in that mood for a few minutes. Perhaps we can stop now because of time. But it's a very, very wonderful meditation. I use it a lot in my own life. When there's a lot of difficulty of whatever form, if I'm able to connect to the sacred space at once, it just lifts everything, actually. So you all can have very amazing experiences if you can apply this. Thank you.
Okay, that was supposed to be the end of yesterday evening. The connected chanting. Couple comments about these exercises. One is, well, we're not used to them. We're used to like classes, questions and answers. Then you go take prasadam. So where does this fit into the program? It's to help integrate that teaching and bring it inside. It's part of entering that liminal space. It's to give an experience. And everybody wants an experience, especially today. I mean, it's not just today, but it's especially today. The current thing is people want an experience. It's one of the things that makes kirtan growingly popular. People don't know what it is, but they experience something. And they like that experience. And because they don't have people teaching them what it is, it's another form of sense gratification, as far as, you know, but they like the experience. So we want to connect with the experience of our relationship with Krishna. Another comment about these exercises or meditations is that if you take it home with you, using a phrase that Satchinandan Swami uses, he says he doesn't know English, but he knows English very well. The end is the wheelbarrow. Those of you from India don't maybe not know what wheelbarrows are, but those who live in Gitanagari know. Wheelbarrow is, it has two handles and one wheel in the front. And as you know, you put stuff in it and you just, you know, it's a wheelbarrow. You take stuff from one place to another place. So the take home part is these meditations, they help to prepare you, release the mind from stuff and be receptive. It's to the experience of chanting rather than just, okay, now it's time to chant, okay, now what's next? It's very helpful. And those that have taken this or that, whatever meditation inspires them and stay with it, I've received feedback. It not only helped them during the 64 round day, but some persons continue with these. And it like centers them in their chanting and their spiritual practice. It's really helpful if you let it in. Okay. Thus ends the connected chanting portion of our retreat.